Chapter 14. "You remember my brother George?" asks Weasley. "Yes," Draco responds, though he doesn't. He was one of the twins, he thinks, the ones running around Hogwarts, pranking everyone. He remembers how all the older girls spent their days giggling over the brothers, engrossed in trying to outmaneuver them. "George is responsible for the cleanup," says Weasley quietly, face shuddering, eyes closing as though the admission pains him. "What?" asks Draco. "Is this common knowledge? Was this published in the papers?" Weasley sighs, sits back, and begins to talk. 9 years ago," he says, "a year after the war ended, the Ministry received its first anonymous tip, a red tip, we called it, because of the red parchment it came on, about Death Eater activity in a relatively small, relatively unknown Slytherin household." "The Masons," Draco breathes. "Right," says Ron, "the Masons." The then head Auror, Davis, didn't respond to the tip at all. It was just a tip, like all the other ones flooding our offices. We'd been getting complaints coming in left, right, and center. Everyone wanted revenge. So what was some anonymous message when real people were showing up in the Auror department? A week after we received the red tip, photos of the Mason house were published in the Daily Prophet, followed closely by a letter from you, I believe. Draco nods and looks away. "I remember. The Masons ended up killing their youngest in a dark ritual." He had been following the media like a hawk back then, had seen the photos the moment they appeared in print. The article had read, "Aurors refuse to investigate obvious Death Eater activity." Draco knew immediately, just from looking at the photos, that the house was indeed swarming with dark magic. Its grounds were barren in every direction, its trees dead, the shrubbery dried out. All of it spoke of snuffed out life, harvested to create something new, something evil. Draco remembers spending an hour looking at those photos, trying to decide what the right course of action would be for him, for his family. In the end, he decided that it didn't matter. He had knowledge of dark magic that few in the world had, let alone the Ministry. So Draco'd penned them a letter, describing in as much detail as he could the nature of ritualistic spellwork that would kill land in such a way. He'd never gotten a response, but a week later, the Mason's youngest girl had been found dead, and the Aurors had finally stormed the property. That had been the beginning of the cleanup. "Yes," says Ron, "it was the wake-up call the Auror department needed. We started taking tips very seriously, especially red ones." Weasley gets up, starts to pace. "When we didn't respond to them immediately, and with force, the Daily Prophet would rip us to shreds. Whispers of corruption would fill the department. Until eventually, we found ourselves responding to red tips with no investigation." "And then," Draco says, voice cold, "you killed the Parkinsons." "Right," Ron responds. He's quiet for a moment, then clears his throat and goes on. "After that," he says, "Shacklebolt brought everything to a raging halt. He told the Daily Prophet that we'd succeeded in cleansing the world of darkness, but really, internally, we were tearing ourselves apart. Thing is, see, there was no one to fire. Everyone was guilty in some way or another. All of us, the entire department, Head Auror Davis, Minister Shacklebolt, even me, even Harry. We were fear, you see, and righteous anger, they mess with the mind. They corrupt reason." Draco doesn't want to imagine Harry in this context, doesn't want to believe that the boy who lived could be led by the nose by some random, by anyone, really. It's an odd feeling, wanting to ignore something he knows well to be true. But then, he is the same way with himself, hoping that if he doesn't look too closely at the things he's done, then maybe, somehow, miraculously, they'll melt away, like shadows melting away in sunlight. "Weasley, please," says Draco, "I'm begging you. Get to the point." "The point," says Ron, "right. A few years after the cleanup, My brother had a mental breakdown and was taken to St. Mungo's, and I just needed to pack him a few things, see? But I found old versions of the red tips, the same red parchment, the same black ink, the same handwriting. I knew he'd changed after Fred. We all did, but he... Weasley draws off, unable to continue. And then Draco sees it, the whole disgusting mess of it. And because he is your brother, he breathes, instead of reporting him, you decided to cover it up. Weasley turns away from him, unable to meet his eyes. What had Harry said this morning? I know what you did. You covered it up from everyone, even Harry, and he discovered it, didn't he? This must be why Harry left Ginevra, why Draco had found him drunk and out of his mind all those months ago, and no wonder. Does Harry know George is responsible for it? Draco asks. No, says Ron. He thinks I am. We grew apart, you see. I pushed him away when I learned about George. Harry had been obsessed with finding the author of the red tips, and I just... What kind of brother would I be if I let George get dragged off to Azkaban? So, says Draco, you kept Harry in the dark. Yes, Weasley says, for years. Eventually, Harry quit the aura division, and it seemed like the problem was gone. Until a few months ago, when he and Ginny had to stay at ours. It was only for a few nights. Their flat got flooded. Leaky pipe. Ginny insisted. I don't know how he agreed. Anyway, he found the letters, the parchment, all the evidence in my desk. I didn't think... It had been so long, I didn't even think of it. He went to Ginny, but she'd known about George for years. Your sister knew? Of course she knew. My whole family knew. That's the problem, isn't it? All right, says Draco. Fine. Why are you telling me all this? Because there were others involved, Ron leans forward, lowers his voice. Someone in the Daily Prophet, and someone in the DMLE I always suspected, but I was never able to find evidence until now. Until the fire. Your magical signature was all over the place. Draco rolls his eyes. You think I paired up with your brother because I sent the ministry one letter 9 years ago? Do you think I'd have been promoted to head aura if I was the idiot you seem to think I am? Weasley looks furious, and Draco leans back in his chair, wondering if he should prepare himself for a fight. Then Weasley deflates and sinks back into the chair across from Draco. No, I do not think you were conspiring with my brother, Weasley says. I have an entire file on you, Malfoy. I know you haven't been using magic. The magic used in Plymouth is draining. It remains attached to the source long after it is cast. There is no way that you would subject yourself to that. I think that the person who set those fires is the same person George had on the inside of the DMLE. I want to find them, but for that, they need to think that I've stopped looking. This is going to destroy my reputation, says Draco, matter-of-factly. All of Wizarding Britain is going to see this. Once it's over, I will tell the public that you were working with the department. I promise. Ron leans back, shrugs a shoulder. If anything, this will help you restore your reputation. And I'm supposed to just trust you? Asks Draco, barely suppressing a laugh. I told you about my brother, Ron snaps. I'm trusting you too. Draco purses his lips, examines Weasley. Why would you do that? Because first off, says Weasley, I have, as I've previously mentioned, been watching you. You're well-respected, if not particularly well-liked. And secondly, Harry, he trusts you. And I don't need to know his reasoning in order to know that his instincts are right. I can't do this alone. I need you in on it, because if you're not, this won't work. Merlin Weasley, why don't you bring in Potter? I can't, says Ron with a shake of his head. Harry's a civilian now. Bringing him in would be against regulation. And what? Asks Draco. I'm not a civilian? You are, Weasley says. But you're involved in this no matter how I turn it. I know that you can fight me on your arrest. I know that you have the means to throw lawyers at me until I'm drowning in them. but if I'm busy trying to keep you in jail, I can't focus on finding George's accomplices. This is a lot, says Draco finally. I understand, Ron says, but his face remains impassive. Will you help? Draco would love to say he'll think about it. He knows that he should bargain, that he should get the most out of this deal that he possibly can. But really, the chance to bring down the people responsible for the deaths of his friends, responsible for Pansy's death, that's an opportunity he can't squander. What about George? Asks Draco. What will you do about him? What happens when you're forced to choose between capturing whoever is working from inside the ministry and keeping your brother out of jail? If I have to turn him in, Ron replies without hesitating, I will. Really? What's changed? My sister's marriage is falling apart because of this, because I convinced my family to keep this secret. George is... He never recovered from his mental break. He's still in St. Mungo's. He doesn't speak. But Ginny is here, and alive. I am her brother, too. Her marriage matters. Harry matters. I thought I was willing to pay the price for keeping this secret, but it turns out I'm not. Draco buries his face in his hands. Harry had come to him because he'd felt betrayed. He'd come to him, wormed his way into his life, into his heart. And he'd done so because he'd rightly, given the information he had, assumed his marriage was over. But it's not. Because Harry is nothing if not understanding, and once he learns the entire truth, Draco can feel his stomach flip. Harry is going to go back to his marriage, back to the Weasleys. Harry is going to go back, and Draco will be left entirely alone, just as he had predicted. This is the price, he realizes, the price he has to pay for asking no questions, for blindly walking into dark places, just like he had as a teenager, and now he's stuck here, losing the one thing he didn't even know he wanted. And it could have all been avoided. He could have just what? Forced Harry to talk? Harry himself is still in the dark about all this. But that is not his problem, because Harry is not his problem, because Harry is not his. Harry is Ginevra's, and it's in Draco's best interest to remember that. I want public apologies, Draco says, finally. For arresting you? Ron asks, I already said. No, I want public apologies to the families murdered in the cleanup. Weasley sits back and observes Draco for a long time. And you won't cause any trouble? None at all, Draco replies. Great, says Ron, clapping his hands together. We have a deal. Now, please tell me. I need to know how Harry is doing.